time again.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, we want to know you more.
That's right.
And then we want to really be perfected through your words.
That's right.
Thank you that you give us this opportunity to come together and to really know you and see your glory.
Yeah.
And also be perfected and transformed into your image.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for your work on this earth, your kingdom on this earth. For this sake, Lord, bring us to the end.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for his house, for the tabernacle.
Amen.
For a few weeks, some brother, we have fellowship concerning also the book of Hebrews. And I and my wife went back to read this book again from the chapter one. I remember there was a conference also in end of 2015 concerning the book of Hebrews. And it is really a book also even for now. This is a wonderful book that told us how Jesus came as a man and suffered and became our savior. And not only the savior, is also captain of our salvation and became a high priest. In this book, there are many things evained concerning priesthood, also concerning the tabernacle. But one point also, a lot of warnings in there. Warned the people, they are not obedient. They have such evil unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. This warning, I hope we can take that also seriously. And we have really a speaking God. That's why even in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, said already, God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Yeah. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son.
Amen.
Immediately also mentioned that, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Yeah, from the last few months already, this verse come in my mind. I ask myself, am I really taking the word what's spoken in the church seriously? I heard, but am I doing this word? Doing what I heard. That is very important, I think. Today, I immediately in the next verse said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?
That's right.
What a salvation today, it lends last days, the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
And even show us his coming soon. Oh Lord, sometimes I really cannot hold. This is, I don't know, I have to repent because, sorry about that. Because very often I don't take this word serious. I hope none of us is like me. Yes, so that we can go on together. Right? Therefore, also in Hebrews said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellions. Where is our hearts, right? we want to gain gold. We know the holy place is actually corresponds to our soul life, our soul. We want to gain more Christ, more gold, but where is our heart? Very often our heart is hardened and cold, right? And the children of Israel at that time, and the time of Hebrews was written, they really want to draw back. They have actually depart from the living God. And that's why the writer warned them, say, you cannot do that. If you do that, then you are done. You are finished, right? So in chapter 3 also, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I don't want to be departed from the living God. But at that time, you know, the punishment of God to the children of Israel is very, maybe he punished them by sending some fiery serpent and caused some people die. But the most serious, severe punishment is take away their place of worship and desolate their city and scatter them everywhere. So they don't have a place to worship God, and they don't have even a priesthood because they are everywhere. They are living among nations. So they are in a way not exist, in fact. And that is a curse, and that is a punishment of God. And maybe that is also, if we see also a situation of the Christianity, the believer today. We are talking today about tabernacle. That's why the world is not involved. Unbeliever is not involved. This word, what in Hebrews, also what we are talking about, sharing about, is concerning us, the believers. So really, before this, I pray to the Lord that we should be faithful. We, at least, those who call and those who hear the words. So let continue with the tabernacle. As brothers already shared, that the tabernacle has three parts, right? We have the picture also. And then the holy place. Actually, I want to say as just like before Brother John shared also, God's house is simple. It's very simple. It's not only the house is simple, it's God's goal. His target, a way showed to us, also simple. He wants to dwell with his people, period. He wants to be worshipped and dwell with his people. But the problem is we are too complicated, right? The whole Bible from the beginning to the end is saying about dwelling place. God with man, right? This is not simple, but we make that very, very difficult, complicated, right? This tabernacle is a holy place, but we are not holy. This tabernacle should be a place to worship God, but we don't. We do something else. We don't do anything according to his instruction. And then this tabernacle, this house should be built according to the pattern which was given to Moses, piece by piece. But we don't do that. We are complicated. We do things according to our concept. That's why the Lord said to us, you cannot serve your God this way. You should serve your God according to my way. My way is higher than your way. You cannot serve me like this. So it is a warning for us. We cannot today, even now, we don't have actually exit going out, because we saw the way and the pattern we have to follow. Otherwise, we will depart from the living God. It is a serious matter, very, very serious. Oh, Lord. In Ezekiel says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's not simple. This sentence is very simple, right? And then in the Revelation 21, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I hope we all can see this goal. Don't be distracted by anything else. This is our goal. I want to see the glory of God in his house. I want to dwell in his house in all my life. Amen. Don't be distracted. There's nothing more important than this goal. Amen. That's why I thank the Lord that the Lord in that last few years showed us the feast and priesthood, because we are on the right track to lead to this goal. Don't go to the branches sideways. Go to on the main street. This is the way, right? From the beginning to the end, it's very clear. And this place, the tabernacle, also is a place where God will speak to his people. We want to go into the house and listen to him. That's why in the end of the Exodus, chapter 40, I think, at the end of the Exodus, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Immediately, in the Leviticus chapter 1, he said, now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting and saying what he wanted to say to Moses and to the people. Right? I want to be in a place where God speaks. I don't want to be a place where, I don't know, who speaks, but not God. Let us really have the right choice and to go into the holiest so that we can hear the speaking of the Lord. Amen. The tabernacle, again, not only place to speak to the people, most important is the priest doing his job there. We, as the priests, we want to carry out our duty. That's why we have to go in there. That place is not for anybody else except priests. And this priest has to be qualified. And today, we have to ask ourselves, are we qualified? Right? Maybe to go into the outer court. Really, we are safe, no problem. But we know in the holy place, just like we heard from the brother. They are gold. Gold is the nature of God. It's a substance of God, right? Therefore, we have to have the substance to really represent the glory of God, the glory of the holiness, the holy place, right? So since we already saw a few pictures concerning the tabernacle holy place, I will not repeat that, but in this holy place, other furnitures will be spoken by the other brothers. But here, mainly I want to say they are boards to come together. And these boards are linked and established, linked by the rod. All this board and rod, they are acacia wood, but overlaid with gold, which means this is the wood, the which one can really carry the weight and will not corrupt, and also have overlaid with gold, and to show the glory of God, his nature. Isn't that wonderful? That's really wonderful, right? So you only see gold in the holy place. Although the board is individual board, but they are together, built up together as a wall in the holy place. This also is a picture of the building up of the church. For building up that church, we need the gold. And most important, we need the transformation of our soul life, right? Our soul life, unfortunately, our soul, unfortunately, is poisoned by the enemy. But the Lord saved us. We are actually saved. This way, we have a possibility to go into the holy place, to receive this transformation. Again, our soul is our will, our mind, our emotion, our feeling, right? All these things has to be changed, transformed, have to have a substance of Christ. And during the preparation, I just want to mention some examples. For example, our our will. We are very, very rebellious. You see, if God wants us to do something, we don't want to do it. Maybe we know it. Just like I mentioned, the way is simple. Build the house according to his instruction, according to the pattern. But we don't. We do something else by ourselves, right? It's very working against God. And that need to be really changed. How can we change that? The first thing, we need to actually experience Christ as the peace offering. We have to have peace with God first. Otherwise, how can you have peace with the brothers and peace with yourself, right? So we have to, in this way, actually it's wonderful that we can experience Christ as our peace offering. Yeah, that's why in Romans said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Right? Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We know there's also some food, something in the holy place. Yeah, that the brothers might mention that. And then also we have to really put our will under self-control. In Philippians, Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. This is a very strong will. Are you going to count everything for rubbish? I ask myself. I can't. Yeah. And then you want to have really put everything, suffer, and then to gain Christ. Okay. That's why we really need him as peace offering and burnt offering, to have our will under control so that our soul can be transformed, can express the picture of our Christ, our God, right? And then also our mind. The verses we know very often said, okay, mind or seek the things above. Things above and not earthly things. Very often I ask me, okay, I can find from the Bible some things above and think about that. But in the way, actually, what are the things above? I think the way to find out is asking, ask the Lord, what is the things above? And then just before also, John also mentioned, we have to communicate with God, right? We have to have a two-way communication. That's why in the last 2 weeks, we have also fellowship concerning the prayer of the Lord in Gospel of chapter 17. John chapter 17, the last prayer of our Lord. And that, after I read a few times, I have to say that is a prayer of a high priest. Our prayer, very often we come with a checklist. Lord, do that for me, do that for you, for this and for that. And this prayer from our Lord, in the chapter 17 of Gospel of John, he come to the Lord, to the Father, said, I did that, I did that, I did that. That's really his report card. But how often we come to the Lord with a prayer, Lord, you told me that, I did that. Lord, check, did. No, the Lord always asks what I told you to do. Where's the checklist? But we always ask the Lord to fulfill our checklist. This is really give me a new view from the prayer, from the burnt incense to God. If I don't talk to him, how do I know the things above? How do I know his plan? How do I know the next step? What will happen with his church, with his kingdom on this earth? I can only assume. And that's not a way to be a priest. But our Lord, if I encourage you, go home and read Gospel of John chapter 17 again with this view. What he did, he glorified the Father. He gave tell everybody his name. He proved he was sent by God. He telling them the truth. He even tell them, this is the eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? It's not a prayer as a checklist that God gave him to do. He did everything. I want to be like him. I want to, my mind to be saturated by such things from above, not by the things on this earth, right? I can also suggest you to read two prayer from Paul in the book of Ephesians. That two prayer, he knows what he's praying. He knows what is the things above. Oh Lord, let us really learn how to communicate with you, how to know your heart's desire, right? The last part of our soul is emotion, right? And in Colossians, but above all things, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Here we can experience the Lord as his fine humanity, right? And I think 2 weeks ago we had fellowship concerning some sense concerning the book of Revelation, the chapter 2, the church left first love. And God will remove that lampstand from his place. And this first love here mentioned, the bond of perfection, is the love towards God. If you don't love God, you cannot love man. The best love to God is the source to love man. Our love to love other people, right? So, and what the result for this, or the reward for this church, is the Lord said, who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And, you know, this tree was blocked in the first book of the Bible. I think it's in chapter 3 or 4, I think, right? Because they didn't put God as the first love, Adam and Eve. Therefore, the tree of life is blocked. But wonderful if we have our emotion. Love is really our emotion. Turn to God and give him the first love. We have the right to eat from the tree of life. The way is free. The blocking is no more there. The way is free to the tree of life. So we need our emotion need to be really transformed to express our God. And I think, I have a few minutes. And we have to have a goal. The goal is really go into the Holy of Holies. This is our goal. I want to hear the speaking of our God. Right? And I want to mention one thing also concerning the humanity of God. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, that church is a young church. And Paul have in chapter 2 even said, I will give my life to you. I'm taking care of you as a nursing mother. I consider you as children. I am your father. You can read that chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a love from God transformed to the saints. I want to have this love. I want to really transform and have more gold in this way. A nursing mother cannot say, I don't have time to feed the babies. A father has, I don't care how, if my child, where's my child, right? This is not normal. But if we have such love toward God, that will be automatically come out toward the saints. Taking care of the saints as a nursing mother, taking care of the saints as the father. Right? It's wonderful. Last point I have to mention again. To our soul life to be transformed through all these offerings, the substance of Christ. One point is also very important, is our conscience. We have to really carefully take care of our conscience. Because the conscience is a channel also to our soul life. So therefore, we are in the first, I don't have to read this more, but Paul and Peter, they always, as testimony said, I have a good conscience to a man, also to a God. Let us also exercise in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay attention to our conscience. So for the end, can we read Nehemiah's? Yeah, chapter 1, eight to nine. Can the meeting hall read that for us?
Read the saints.
Yeah, sorry, things in the meeting hall, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8 to 9.
Amen. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.
Amen. We are not so far yet. We are still on the globe. So the Lord will get us together. And this is very simple, right? The Lord said in verse 9, so simple. I will dwell in at there, I will dwell with them. Is it so simple? Let us be those who really return to him and keep his commandment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Started by telling us that the Lord speaks through his tabernacle, through his sanctuary. And maybe I will refer you back to the end of Exodus in chapter 25, Exodus 25, verse 22. Not the end, but in chapter 25, verse 22. When the Lord told them to build the tabernacle and what to do, he said, and there and there I will meet with you.
Amen.
And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
I think this is a wonderful verse here to prove to us that a normal place for God speaking to his people is right there in the Holy of Holies, right there in the sanctuary. Above the mercy seat, no wonder in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer encouraged us to enter in to the mercy seats, the throne of grace. There you can see the two cherubims of glory, which are on the ark of the testimony, and God will speak about everything which he will give to Moses in commandment to the children of Israel. And I don't think God's ways will change. This is a normal way for God to speak to his people. So if the sanctuary is no longer there, his house is no longer there, then where is he going to speak? Then it'll be we, men, speaking and not God speaking. Right. We do need the sanctuary to hear the speaking of the Lord. And this is very precious. This is where the priests and those who dwell in the house of the living God inquire of God and receive answer from the Lord. Especially in the time of the burning of incense. This is where Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when it was his turn to burn incense in the holy place, that God spoke to him. Right? And God speaking in the holy place, it's definitely something that is very precious, not just having a conversation with us. You know, many times when we speak to one another, we speak about everything. There are so many topics of interest that we speak to one another. But you have to realize when God speaks to us, it is definitely not about anything, but concerning his plan, his purpose, his will, concerning the important, significant things that he's going to do, the events that's going to take place. Even the Holy Spirit, the anointing, speaking to us, the Lord told us in John chapter 14 that he will receive from me and disclose them to you. The speaking of the anointing is not just about anything, right? But God speaking is right here. He says, I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel of what God wants his people to do. Unfortunately, today we just speak objectively teaching the Bible, which is perhaps the best thing, interpreting correctly the Bible. But then you can hear too many messages elsewhere speaking a lot of man speaking. And just like the Pharisees and the scribes speaking instead of the word of God, the commandments of men, the teachings of men. This is why the Lord warned his people, his disciples, concerning the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. right? Meaning to say their teaching, the human teaching. Well, it may be good, I don't know, right? Washing your hands before eating is a good, it's a good teaching, right? But it may not be the word of God. It doesn't accomplish God's plan and God's purpose. So to enter into the holy place is a privilege of the priesthood. Do not look down or underestimate the service of the priesthood. So may the Lord grant us mercy that we will learn and inquire of him in his temple. One thing perhaps I'd like to mention to you is the pillars in the outer court. You cannot find anywhere what kind of wood is used for the pillars. It just says, make yourself the pillars for the hangings, right? 20 pillars in the north, 20 pillars in the south, and 5 in the west, 5 in the east. I'm sorry, 10 in the west and 10 in the east. Altogether 60 pillars. But it was not mentioned what kind of wood. Of course, everybody and all of the Bible interpreters, they said it's normal that it is made of acacia wood. And no doubt it is made of acacia wood, but it's not mentioned. But when it talks about the sanctuary, even the pillars and the entrance into the holy place, it is mentioned acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Now it's very, very specific. But the pillars in the outer court, it is not mentioned. What kind of wood, acacia wood, was not mentioned there. But yes, you have the burnt offering altar. It is made of acacia wood, right? So here we can really see that for the building of the sanctuary, the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is a must. God specified very clearly, you cannot use any other wood. Right. But acacia wood, the boards. Why is it today we talked about building, we talked about oneness? For so many years we talked about oneness. But at the end, there was really no oneness. Everything fell apart. It's not the doctrine of oneness that is wrong. Of course, we want to be one. Don't you want to be one? Then we use the prayer in John 17, as our brother mentioned, that they all may be one. That they all may be one. It's a wonderful prayer. But the next word says, just as you, Father, and I are one. Now that is a very special kind of oneness. That oneness is a oneness of a proper humanity, the acacia wood, and overlaid with gold. If we don't have that material and that kind of a board and overlaid with gold, our oneness will fall apart. Because with time, there will be termites, worms, dry rot, corruption will come in. And with that kind of a wood, right, everybody who has a house knows if you have that kind of a wood, you have to take that wood apart and change the wood. but you better change it with acacia wood till then it's going to last. But no, it, the wood that we use, it's food for the termites. California has a lot of termites. Almost every house has termites. Right. But you cannot build with this kind of wood concerning the sanctuary of the Lord. No. So the humanity of the Lord Jesus is so important. You cannot emphasize enough this wonderful humanity, the meal offering. This is why we need a meal offering. And the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the acacia wood. And then overlaid with gold. And all this wood will build up the sanctuary, both in the Holy of Holies and the holy place. The whole thing is covered with this kind of boards. And these boards are wonderful boards, overlaid with gold. Right. And our brother talks about the ring. The ring is attached there, made of gold. That means it is the divine element, the oneness of the Spirit. If it is not the oneness of the Spirit, it breaks very easily. Yet you need the proper humanity to be one. Right? Otherwise, we can be one maybe for 1 year, or sometimes even just for a few weeks. And if you have a more righteous humanity, I don't know, maybe 10 years, it'll last for 10 years and it falls apart. Some fell apart after a few months, some fell apart after 2-3 years, some after 20 years, and some after 40 years, it fell apart. I think because of our experience in the past, today we realize without the humanity, the proper wood, the acacia wood, and then overlaid with gold. It is impossible to build the sanctuary. It is impossible. Right. We cannot explain it in words, but a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. That picture should show us God's way of building this building.
Amen. Right.
Ephesians says to be fitly framed together. In chapter 2, verse 21, right? In Christ, in whom all of us, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. It has to be in Christ. That means with Christ as the substance, with Christ as the humanity of the Lord. And then overlaid with gold. And then we can be fitly framed together. We can try to fit other things together, but when the weather changes, if you have different substances, then things will change. Some will expand and some will contract, and at the end, it'll fall apart. And this tabernacle shows us the only way to be fitly framed together. That is the only way that will last, and it's God's way. And then it is the oneness of the Spirit. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, the oneness of the Spirit is one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. This is the substance of our oneness. Our oneness is not one apostle or a few apostles or just anything. But the oneness of the Spirit is this wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ with the very nature of God, overlaid with the nature of God, and with the rings made of gold and the poles that hold it together is made of the same substance, made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And there are five poles there. Four shorter ones and one that went through the middle to hold all the boards together. It is not man-made. It is not man's material. It is not Apostle Paul holding everything together. It is not anybody, the pastor or the elders, holding the whole building together. Let me tell you, if that's the case, sooner or later it's going to fall apart because of corruption. We are corruptible. Right. How can the church be fitly framed together? If we don't use this kind of material according to God's ways of building, we're not going to make it. When I saw the problems many years ago, it scared me. Right? Even at the end of the 70s, you know, I moved to the States. I was asked to go back to the States in 1979. I went back to the States because there's so much problem. And I was asked to come. When I saw all those problems, I got scared. I said, we talked about oneness for so many years. What's happening? What happens? It's falling apart. And I asked the Lord, and when is this going to happen to Europe? Because we're all one, right? We're supposed to be one. We're in fellowship. And I don't think anybody stressed and emphasized, at least at that time, more than we do concerning the building of the church, concerning the matter of the oneness. Right? Well, Psalm 133 was the golden psalm for all of us. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together, right, in unity. And now, this unity are falling apart. And the worst thing, why it's and how it's falling apart, it's among the leading ones falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really fell apart. And the Lord is my witness. At that time, I asked the Lord, what's going on? Why? Why is it like this? And then, of course, it happened again in the 80s, at the end of the 80s. Right. So, it must be because we are not building it according to God's way. We talk about life, but where is that life, the reality, the substance of that life? We talk about transformation. And we hardly talked about sanctification and holiness. Yeah. Right. The salvation of the soul, as our brother mentioned, it is really so important. And that's what Peter says. The goal of faith is the salvation of the soul. And right, it was read that Christ desired to make his home to dwell there in our soul, in every part of our being. And before he does that, it has to be cleansed. It has to be sanctified. Right? Before you move into your apartment or your house, firstly you have to clean it. Repaint the house according to your taste. And you have to do everything according to how you like it. Then you move in, right? The Lord, his desire is to make his home and dwelling in our heart. And I appreciate our brother sharing in short, but it details concerning every part. Not just our mind has to be renewed, but our emotion. What do I love? I love so many things. And do I have the best love? Right? And then our will. Our will, many times we do what we think we should be doing, but we still do it. We know what God wants us to do, but I said, Lord, maybe next time, okay, but not this time, right? And so our soul needs to be saved. And that is the main thing concerning salvation. You know, the salvation from the eternal damnation is very quick. You receive the Lord, you accept by faith. It's not by works, praise God. If it's by works, nobody can be saved, okay? So it's a gift of God. If I give Freddie a gift, it's not going to take you 1 year to get it or 10 years to get that gift, right? It's given to you. You don't have to do anything, right? Just say thank you and enjoy it. But the salvation of the soul takes your lifetime. Yes. It is by life. It is to change the life, the nature. Right, to be saved to the uttermost, it takes a lifetime. Daily, all the time. It is a constant gaining of Christ. Even Paul in Philippians says, not that I have attained. This word has always reminded to me and warned me, you know, go on, ye have not yet attained. Not perfected. We are not perfected. We are not saved to the uttermost. We are not sanctified yet completely. So it's every day. It's day by day we need to gain this substance. And by the Lord's mercy and grace, as we are enjoying and experiencing the humanity of the Lord and at the same time gaining gold. Remember, if you gain Christ, you're gaining all the fullness of the Godhead, because all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. Right? You gain the Lord, you're gaining the Spirit, you're gaining the very divine nature of God. Right? So the name of our Lord Jesus Christ encompassed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to do that. And once you stop, that is not good. That is not good. If you stop, it is not good. We have to continue with it until we are perfected. So may the Lord open our eyes. Right. Now, if you go to the outside in the pillars and look at the pillars are far apart from each other. Right? They are not very close to each other. But the boards are fitly framed and joined together. Right? They are fitly joined together. And joined together in such a way in the socket that two boards have at least one socket in common. And then other next board, they were joined together. You remember, you know the game of two people, you know, the legs were bind together and then you have a race to see who reach the farthest, right? So if your partner that your legs were in one of the sack with you joined together, you may run so fast, but your partner may run so slow, it slows you down. Yep. And here these two boards are joined together. and a silver socket, right? And then you have that pole that joins them together. Right? This is another thing that we have to fellowship about. But this morning, as our brother shared, without the right boards, which is the acacia wood, and overlaid with gold, it's very difficult for us to be joined together. And with a ring, so that a pole can hold us together, with a silver socket. It's important. It is very important. Right. May the Lord open our eyes. May the Lord open our eyes. Amen. I think we are seeing more and more the reality of the building through this tabernacle. Not the doctrine. It is the substance that builds us together. Right. It's not knowing Psalm 133. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Okay.